Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast number 28 on the poem Antarctica by Derek Mahon. The first heading is subject matter. So, the third poem by Derek Mahon on your course is Antarctica. Once again, in this poem, we see Mahon explore an individual making a decision in difficult circumstances. In After the Titanic, Bruce Ismay made the decision to step into a lifeboat, taking the place of a woman or a child who may have been saved had he chosen not to do this. This poem is about Captain Lawrence Oates, an explorer who went to the Antarctic on an expedition with Captain Scott to the South Pole in 1912. The poem's opening line is narrated by Oates, who, suffering with frostbite and believing he was a liability to his fellow explorers, casually tells him that he's leaving their tent, going outside, and maybe some time. Mahon imagines the pitiable figure of Oates goading his ghost into the howling snow before being lost forever. From one perspective, the situation might be considered ridiculous, a team of explorers on a vain conquest of nature. But on the other hand, there is something sublime and dignified about the action of one man in walking to a certain death in the belief that it may save the lives of his fellow adventurers. Mahon believes that rather than consider Oates' action as some kind of crime, it is the ultimate act of selflessness towards his companions. The next heading is theme. One major theme in the poem is that of self-sacrifice. The idea that a man was prepared to sacrifice his life in order to improve the chances of his companion's survival. Mahon asks in the poem, need we consider it some sort of crime, this numb self-sacrifice of the weakest? And immediately he answers, no. Although the contexts were different, there is a connection between Oates' decision and the decision of the heroes mentioned by Bruce Ismay in After the Titanic, who sank with the Titanic so that others, namely women and children, might be saved. In public opinion, Oates' action made him a courageous hero, whereas Ismay's decision made him a cowardly villain. For quote 3, into your worksheet, write down 3 lines or phrases from the poem which you find moving. Is there any quote in the poem that points to something ridiculous? Can you find a quote that illustrates something sublime? You may also be able to find a quote to illustrate Mahon's descriptive power in writing the poem. We move on then to imagery. As a poet, Mahon has a brilliant eye for detail and storytelling, as he effectively recreates the realistic setting with only a few masterly brushstrokes. For example, he evokes the extremely harsh and bitingly cold weather in describing the explorer's tent disappearing or receding, quote, beneath its crust of rime. He personifies the snow as it hauntingly howls at Oates, emphasizing the enormity of Oates' decision. The image of Oates goading his ghost into the howling snow is a heart-wrenching description of the grim determination of Oates to step into the raging blizzard and his own inevitable death. Mahon also uses striking metaphors in picturing Oates as a ghost as he climbs closer and closer to his death. He also imagines him as a solitary enzyme, which emphasizes his utter isolation in the vast continent of ice and snow, but also shows how his actions transform him into a hero whose bravery will glow for future generations. Another metaphor is used in describing life on Earth as a pantomime, suggesting that we all play a part for a brief moment in life's story, which may be sometimes ridiculous or absurd, but at other times heroic and sublime. The next heading on your worksheet is language. Mahon includes the poignant words of Oates as he prepares to step into the blizzard. I'm just going outside and maybe some time. These simple, humble, final words of someone who is about to sacrifice his life for others are very moving. emotive language is also used in describing oats as the weakest and as a solitary enzyme. We know, as Oates himself must have known, that he is ultimately doomed. Similarly, we get to experience the scene from Oates' perspective and imagine the horror of seeing his companion's tent disappear or recede until it is invisible. Note too that Mahan narrates the events in the present tense. The others nod. He leaves them reading. The tent recedes. Frostbite is replaced by vertigo. He takes leave. Using the present tense creates the impression that the courage and dignity of Oates, once a solitary enzyme, transforms him into an heroic figure who will glow and inspire people over many generations. The next heading is form, and the poem is written in the form of a villanelle. This is a poem of 19 lines, composed of 5 tercets and concluding with a quatrain. Lines 1 and 3 are repeated at various points in the poem. See if you can find an example. Note that the 2 repeating lines are central to the theme of the poem. One line gives us Oates' final words, while the other is the reflections of the poet. Firstly, Oates' words, "I'm just going outside and maybe some time," feature in 4 of the 6 stanzas in the poem. Mahan's assessment of the situation, at the heart of the ridiculous, the sublime, is also repeated across 4 stanzas. Note too that these 2 refrains come together in the 2 closing lines of the poem, emphasising the extraordinary dignity of Oates as he steps away from his fellow explorers and into certain death. This is what changes a situation, which some might see as ridiculous or even pointless, to one that is quite remarkable. We move on now to sound. Another key feature of villanelle is that it has only 2 end rhymes. If you listen to the first stanza, "I'm just going outside and maybe some time," the others nod, pretending not to know, "at the heart of the ridiculous, the sublime." You probably noticed that time in line 1 rhymes with sublime in line 3. Then the final word in line 2, which is no, rhymes with the second line of each of the stanzas that follow, with words such as snow, vertigo, no, glow and go. The pattern of rhyme therefore is ABA in each of the first 5 tercets, with the final quatrain rhyming ABAA. You can read more about the villanelle form in the Zoom In quick reference card in your Poetry Speaks textbook. The poem also includes examples of assonance and alliteration. For example, what type of sound effect is Mahan using in the phrase "goading his ghost"? What about the phrase "howling snow" in line 5? Is that broad vowel sound an example of alliteration or assonance? Would you agree that the word "howling" is itself an example of onomatopoeia? The next heading is tone and mood. It is clear in the poem that Mahan is very respectful of the figure of Captain Lawrence Oates. He opens the poem with Oates' final words, "I'm just going outside and maybe some time," an extraordinarily dignified thing to say, given the circumstances. We can sense Mahan's respect and admiration for Oates, who, suffering with frostbite and not wanting to slow his companion's progress, acts with humility and dignity in his self-sacrifice. Mahan tells us that Oates leaves the tent quietly, knowing it is time to go. He doesn't make any fuss, no farewell speeches, no dramatic gestures, just a few simple words before stepping into a ferocious blizzard of howling snow. Mahan admires Oates, who, at his weakest moment, physically takes charge of his destiny and shows the strength of mind and the resolve to complete an heroic act which continues to glow through time. The poem's mood reflects what you think about and feel about the poem. Do you think it is a sad mood, or perhaps a celebratory mood? Do you admire Oates? Who was he thinking of as he stepped into the blizzard? Do you think it was a difficult decision to make? Finally, we come to personal response. Did you enjoy the poem? What did you feel as you read and studied it? Is Oates' story inspiring, or perhaps it has the opposite effect? Do you admire Oates, or do you think his actions may be some sort of crime? If you consider the words ridiculous and sublime in the poem, which of the two words do you think summarises Mahan's poem for you? Do you think Oates' fellow explorers were wrong to pretend not to know, and that they should have stopped him from stepping outside? Think about some of these prompts and then complete your personal response into your worksheet.